From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carl bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Ian Hunter of Swords Pavilions, a shopping centre where you can meet, eat, sip and shop all under one roof. As one of Dublin's premier shopping destinations with over 100 global and national retailers to choose from, their world-class stores offer an unrivaled destination for the best shopping, dining and entertainment, along with an extraordinary program of services. Thank you so much for joining me on AIBF Business Talk today, Ian. Ian, Swords Pavilions has recently been acknowledged with a Business All-Star for their Award of Excellence for outstanding contribution to the environment. And one of the main reasons around this is the steps that you've been taking to becoming a carbon neutral venue by 2030. That is so inspirational. But I'd love to hear, where did this journey start and how is it going for you?
Hi there, Elaine. Yeah, the journey probably started back in about 2018. Where as a business, we started to just question the running of the shopping centre. And again, the shopping centre is 23 years old now, so it's not a new build. It's quite a complex building as well, because it's over two phases. I think we've got 56 roofs in total on the building. So it's, you know, I think people struggle to understand the complexity around our building, but I suppose where we wanted to get to was, how can we start to make our building, one, earn its keep, but two, be more environmentally friendly? And we didn't talk carbon neutral or net carbon zero or any of those things at the time. It was more about challenging what we had and how could we take that forward to make it a more economical and more efficiently run building. So that was the start. And we used 2019 as our line in the sand. So that was quite simple. We had a full year. It was obviously before COVID and all that thing kicked off. But it gave us a clean year where all of our old systems were operating at 100%. And we took those readings across gas, across electricity and across water as the main sort of line in the sand elements, and obviously calculated our carbon emissions from that as well, so that we had a clear line that we could challenge. And I think the big thing is the word challenge, because what we've found when we spoke to a number of our suppliers and teams that carry out maintenance on the kit that we have, they want to maintain or they want to improve the piece of kit, whereas we were asking the question, what does a piece of kit do and do we need it? So it's a really different aspect, because I think in previous years, we'd ask for that and we'd listen to what they said and we invested money in making the kit that we had more efficient. Air handling units are a good example. And we spent a serious amount of money on upgrading air handling units, but the most efficient air handling unit is one that isn't even plugged in. So that's the kind of challenge. And it was a mindset change from both myself, but also my team, to be much more thinking outside of the box rather than just accepting what someone's saying to you. And it's also starting to get under the skin of the systems in terms of, what are they delivering for you? What is the, you know, what's the criteria of the air handling unit? What's the velocity of the air even going to the floor? You know, what are you delivering per square meter? Is it one person per square meter is being delivered? And getting really into the nitty-gritty of it. And you're finding that you might be supplying air to the mall, as we were, in a situation that the mall actually couldn't function if the number of people that the system was set up to deliver to was actually in the mall. So completely and utterly overspecced. And they were some of the things we started to find when you start digging underneath the surface of the conversations, and really important.
And one of those key things, and I think it's something that any business, no matter how big or how small, the look at it, will our changes, you know, will they pay for themselves? Will the benefits come back to us? So you've implemented a lot of your changes under a number of different phases. So I'd love to hear maybe how some of your current implementations or installations are delivering for you and the shopping centre. And as the phrase goes, are they washing their face?
Yes, well, I think it's interesting. So we start in 2019. The first thing we did was change the whole centre to LED lighting. That was the centre itself, all of back of house corridors, multi-storey car parks, surface car parks. And that process slightly disturbed because of COVID again, but we completed that in 2021 because of COVID more so than anything else. But we had about 80% of it done pre-COVID. So we are now seeing savings of in and around 35% on an electricity bill. We have little or no maintenance in terms of the lights themselves. We got a 5-year guarantee across the bulbs. So again, from that point of view, it gives you that sort of fail-safe if there is problems. And look, when you're doing nearly 4,000 fittings, there's going to be some that are just not quite up to standard. We were very particular about the market in which they were produced. So again, to make sure we got quality. And we also retrofitted. So we didn't change the aesthetics of the building. We retrofitted lights to the building. So we maintained the same number because, again, with LED and the movement in terms of technology, we probably could have reduced the number, but we felt it was important to have the building still feel the way the original architects saw it. So that was delivered, 35% savings on that. The next thing we started on was gas boilers. We actually got rid of gas boilers that heat hot water. Gas was one of the key things in terms of carbon emissions that we wanted to get rid of altogether, if we could. And we had a number of systems that were running off the gas. Gas boilers was one. We changed them to heat recycling pumps, but internal ones rather than external. So they actually use slightly less power than the external because they're not having to heat the air as much, quite as much because of it. That was one step. So that got rid of the gas boilers from that element. All of 23 of our air handling units were all gas fired. We decommissioned those back in 23 as well. We're in the process of bringing in brand new air to air heat recycling AHUs, but we're only bringing in 3, not 23. So it just shows the digging that we did in terms of the whole aesthetic and abilities of the technology now. And the other thing we did for the gas was we had gas-fired, water-heated air over-door heaters that basically had failed anyway. So we swapped those out to heat recycling pump air curtains now. June of 2023, we officially turned off gas to the whole building from a landlord's side. We have some tenants that still use gas, but from a landlord's side. So if I take a step back, we were using 1.8 million kilowatts of gas in 2019. As of 2023, June, we're now using zero.
Fantastic. That must have been some celebration that day. I can just imagine, you know, the feeling, the palpitations, and you're about to totally switch away from the gas. It must have been some feeling of accomplishment.
It was fantastic. We even got T-shirts made. Gas-free in 23 was the slogan. We achieved that. The team were delighted with the work that had been done to get to that point because it wasn't easy. And there was a number of hoops to be jumped through. But we got there. And I think the other thing from our point of view is we were the first in our landlord's portfolio as a shopping centre to go gas-free as well. So there was that little bit of kudos for the team that we've done it before the business has done it, and we're leading the way rather than following. And subsequently, we've obviously had the business on to us. What did you do? What systems have you used? Mm-hmm. So again, it's that we are one of the smallest shopping centres in the owner's portfolio. So it's nice to be showing the big guys how to do the job.
That's it, punching above your weight. And
absolutely,
like you said, you're a fantastic role model, because what you mentioned there at the start was what was it, 50 something different types of roofs that's in that building alone, which just shows that it's not a straightforward rectangle by any manner means.
No.
So there's a lot of complexity around it. And I think, you know, when we think as well about, you know, what we're all doing for the environment, right? So you do the basics anyway, which is your EV charging points. I see there that you've got a lovely bug hotel. You've got beehives on the roof. What's the next project? Now that you've gone, you know, you've switched off the gas and you're not dependent there at all, what else is in the pipeline to make sure that you're on target for your 2030 mission of being carbon neutral?
Yeah, I suppose the other things, just to say to you, Elaine, we switched on a 330 kilowatt solar scheme in March, and we've already seen a saving on our electricity of about 20% in the first month, so delighted with that. And we've also drilled our own water well at the back end of last year, and we've seen 30% savings in our water consumption from mains and also from a cost point of view. So well worth looking into those. Our current new targets are a second solar scheme, which will be a 480 kilowatt scheme. And that's taken us to the maximum that we can do within the building. That's frustrating as well. And I think this is where government need to look at utilizing buildings like ourselves to maximize generation and sharing within the community. And that could be either the community outside of the center, or it could be the tenants of the center. But I think we need to be getting over some hurdles to start help allowing us to be able to produce beyond the MIC of the building. So that's really exciting. We're just working on the final details to get the costings in for that, and we'll probably be looking to get that proposed in May, which would be fantastic. And then the other one, which is really exciting, is we're working on a wind farm on the roof. So again, we've taken off about 10 air handling units from an area, and we believe we can do a wind farm. So we have another company that we're working with, engineering company, who are looking and analysing what potential there is to generate power from wind on the roof. And this is not about having a big turbine. We're based in Swords, right in the town centre. So as you can imagine, we wouldn't get planning for anything like that. But we are looking at vertical wind farms where the turbine actually goes the other way and just goes in a circle. And again, really exciting. We believe there's something we can do. That's not really about supplying kilowatts to the day, but we still use about 30,000 kilowatts at night time in a month to run the building. So if we can get wind to cover some of that, then again, it just helps our overall movement towards that net zero journey. So we can't do any of that because we'll never be able to set aside all of our carbon that's generated, because there isn't a government scheme to be able to set aside carbon, and whether that's investing in trees in Ireland somewhere, you know, so that set aside, we'll still be left with about 220 tons of carbon per year. But if I take you back to 2019, mm-hmm. we were producing around about 1,500 tons of carbon per year.
Some difference.
So it's a massive journey we've been on. We're continuing on that journey. But it's there is an offsetting problem, because offsetting is not something that happens in Ireland. And that's something that the government have to look at and address to allow businesses to get to that net zero.
And that's very interesting. So if there is anybody listening into today's podcast, and maybe if you do have influence and you are around a table, you know, discussing about the policies and, you know, on Ireland as a whole, what advice would you give to them, Ian, as to what changes maybe, number one, you'd like to see from maybe the grant, the incentive side of things, to make sure that more businesses, you know, put in place goals that are stretch goals, but yet they all have the same thing in common, and that's to contribute to the environment in a positive way. And secondly, there, you mentioned about the offsetting side of things.
Yeah, no, I think the first thing I would start with in this whole process, my background is retail. My background's not sustainability. It's not the mechanics or engineering or any of that. I just continue to say, I don't get it. And also I use the words, I never accept the word no as an answer either. And I think that's a stance you have to take, and you have to learn. You know your building better than anyone else. So it's just about challenging what you're being told, and challenging the direction you're taking your business from an ESG point of view. In terms of grants, I think as a business, you've got to maximize the grants that are out there. The biggest frustration is it's not easy to work through the grant system and gaining the grants. We used an old system, and it was, I'll use the word painful to get through, but we've got support from, and there is companies out there who could give you support to gain the grants. The grant system through the SEAI is much simpler now. And again, if you register with the SEAI, you can go in and look at the grants, you can apply. If you know who you're going to be using, you can select that company, and they have to upload all your information. Much easier, and you'll get an answer in terms of what grants available from you. In around about, I think it's 10 days now, whereas it took us months to get the answer. I did have hair, Elaine, at the start of it, but as you can see by now, I've actually not got a grain of hair left. But look, we've got our grants, and we are delighted with it. And again, when I said don't accept no, one of the grants we got was for the air handling units. I was told twice we wouldn't get a grant. We got the grant, and it's a very significant grant we got in the end. So perseverance is the key in terms of driving that, and just, you know, staying on your mission. In terms of really getting to, I want to deliver this, you need to have, I suppose, the final thing I would say with it, in our case, you need to have good support from the owners of the centre, because all these systems and all the changes cost money. And again, the return on investment needs to be quite clear, and clear modelling, so that you know what you're doing, and challenge, again, the right places in terms of the cost structures. And really understand the benefits, what's chargeable with, you know, zero VAT on solar and things like that. Just staying abreast of what's happening in the marketplace, and also speaking to, I'll use the tribe, for experiences with different companies as well, because I think that's key. Networking is really key in terms of getting good contractors that'll do you a good deal, that'll deliver in a timely manner, and professional as well. So I think they're the other things I would really say in terms of making sure that you utilize a tribe for people who have done it, been there, done it, or had some good experience, maybe some not so good experiences. And also using key contractors that you may already be dealing with. And that's where we've used BAM FM is our company that we use to do all our pre-planned maintenance. But we've challenged those in terms of coming up with a way forward to support us in our road to net zero. And that's key as well.
And I think what's so, I suppose, inspiring about yourselves is that where your journey started, it started at doing something very simple. And that was something that nearly any business person listening in here today can do. And that was just starting with your LED lighting and changing that and moving on then to the next part, the boilers, then the solar. So there's lots of different steps you can take along the way. And I think that, you know, for anyone listening in, and as you mentioned there, there's great source of information within the experiences that you have now, Ian, and within the tribe. And I would suggest that anybody that is on a journey that, you know, that they want to help contribute to the environment in a sustainable way for the betterment of themselves and their business, and also the environment, to please do reach out and get in touch with Ian. Ian, how should somebody get in touch with you?
They can basically drop me an email at ihunter@pavilions.ie, and it's a Scottish spelling of pavilions. It's only got one L because it's cheaper to produce. So again, just make sure that they get the spelling right. And look, I'm happy to support anyone that's doing it. And look, it's a journey, it's not a race. I think what you've got to do as a business is you've got to pace it out. It's not a cheap journey, and that's about planning over 3 to 5 years what you're looking to do. Obviously, try and get your big wins in early, because that obviously you're going to get bigger payback quicker. But there's certain things that may produce 2 or 3% of a difference in the running of your business, but they could be sitting in years 4, 5, or 6. Mm-hmm. So I think it's that plan that you need to draw up, and don't try and do everything in once, because it just doesn't work that way. And I think you've also got to let some of the systems bed in to see if they're benefiting you as much as you think. And again, by saying that, we did rainwater harvesting and we did the water well. If in hindsight, I would do the water well first every single time. So they're the kind of things where we've learned, other people can utilize the lessons we've learned and maybe change the decision-making process, and also the timelines by which you're going to do it, because you can't do everything at once.
I love the advice, Ian. It's a journey, not a race. So persevere, don't take no for an answer, but all the time stay on mission. And confer and ask advice from those that have walked or ran the race before you. Fantastic advice, Ian. Look forward to catching in with you when the next phase of all of this has been implemented, especially the solar part on the wind farm on the roof of the building. So that's a very exciting one and unique in many respects. So looking forward to catching up with you on that in the next couple of months. Thank you so much for joining me on AIBF Business Talk today, Ian.
Thanks a lot, Elaine. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.